thanks comes to open our windows for us. He comes not simply with things he knows and has found. He leads the Lamb Studio. He was in charge of our cleaning and reprotecting our windows and making sure that they remain in the excellent condition they were. They will remain that way for many years, thanks to him and those who work for him. And then when I asked him if he would tell us about our windows, he volunteered. And it is my pleasure to welcome him. God, open the windows for us.
Details. shows you how the windows, the glass was made, and how to spell that word, fabrial. He made his own glass in a factory in Corona, Long Island, because he couldn't find the glass that he wanted to use. And he developed this glass in his own factory. So in addition to his stained glass company, he developed a glass factory in Corona. He was averse to using the traditional application of paints and stains onto the glass as was used in the European windows. And he perfected a process which produced glass having hues and shades, tints and tones embodied in the glass itself. As an example of painted stained glass, there's two windows in the rear of the church, the two small windows on the right and left. When you see them up close, and it would be well worth your time to take a look at that after the service, that is a painted stained glass window, although from the distance, it looks like an opalescent stained glass window matching the other windows in the building. And when you look at the trees and the shrubbery in that with those two windows, you will see all the details are painted. When you look at the shrubbery and the detail in these windows, it's all in the glass. There's no painting on any of the side windows or the front window or this window up here. And now you can become educated into what the difference is between these two windows. So when you go to most churches in the United States or any of the churches in Europe, it's all painted stained glass. I'll explain that. The only painting that Louis Comfort Tiffany did was on the flesh and the figures. The flesh meaning the face, the hands, legs, arms, feet. Ram Studios and John Lafarge also made windows using this same type of glass. And many Lamb windows are misidentified as Tiffany, since Lamb Studios did not sign their windows. Tiffany signed all of his windows. So if you're ever in a church and you wonder, is that a Tiffany window? Or somebody tells you, this is a Tiffany window. All you need to do is to look at the lower right-hand corner. Somewhere there will be the identification of Louis Comfort Tiffany or Tiffany Glass and Decorating Company or LC Tiffany New York. If there's no signature on the window, most likely it's not a Tiffany window, even though someone tells you it is. The only way to identify the Tiffany window, if there is no signature, is to look into the records of the church or look into the Tiffany book records. In the room after coffee, no, in the coffee, let me start that again. The room with the coffee after the service, on the table is a display which will have a booklet of Tiffany's work throughout the United States. Your church is mentioned, by the way. Louis Comfort Tiffany was also well known for decorating interiors of churches and theaters, creating jewelry. As you well know, his father was the jeweler in New York City, Tiffany's jewelers, and obviously financed his young son into the arts that the artist that he became. He was also involved with glassware, lighting fixtures, and was an accomplished painter. Actually, he was an accomplished painter before he entered into stained glass. And his concept, from what I understand in reading, is that he wanted to paint stained glass windows. So what he did is he painted stained glass windows with glass. And he didn't want to paint on them. He wanted to use glass as his medium for creating artwork. He led quite an illustrious life, but I will keep my remarks to stained glass windows only. The making of stained glass has changed little over the past 1,000 years, except for his development of fabrial glass. See, because the ancient windows, the 13th and 12th century, all the glass color was clear, transparent glass color. And you could see through the color. All the windows that are in this building, you can't see through the glass. It's opalescent, it's opaque. So all you get is light coming through the colors. So that is a major difference between the painted stained glass window and these windows. Painted stained glass window is transparent color. This is opaque color. Opalescent windows were only popular from the late 1800s to about 1925. This is an American stained glass invention. It wasn't popular in Europe or any other place in the world. Some of the Europeans thought we were crazy over here making these kinds of stained glass windows because this was not stained glass according to them. There was a church building boom in the early 1900s due to a change in the lifestyle from cities to suburbia. Lots of new churches were being built in the suburban areas. And especially after World War I, where many memorial windows were dedicated to the loss of life from that great war. Architects were building churches like St. John of the Vine, St. Thomas's, St. Patrick's, all in the Gothic style. And they wanted Gothic stained glass. Gothic stained glass meaning the windows from Europe, the transparent colored glass that was all painted. They did not want American-made opalescent windows. By the 1930s, opalescent windows were not being created anymore. The major stained glass studios in America began creating the traditional painted glass windows from the past. And shortly after the death of Louis Comfort Tiffany in 1933, the studio closed its doors and it was willed never to open again. He was 85 years old and was buried in Greenwood Cemetery in Brooklyn. When looking at these stained glass windows, I've been in this church many times and have marveled at the beauty and the complexity of the lead line that holds all this glass together. And I just wanted to point out one major development that Tiffany worked on, and it's in the Good Shepherd window over here. And if you look at all the separation of glass colors, there's a black line. If you look at any of the windows, there are all these black lines that separate the colors. But if you look at the mountain over the child's head, there's no black line separating the blue from the yellow. So, yesterday, Dennis and I were walking through here, and he said, well, how did they do that? And I said, well, I don't know. Let me think about it. I've been doing this for 48 years, and I still don't know all the answers. But going back into my memory of how a stained glass window was made, I come to the conclusion that remembering that all Tiffany stained glass windows are 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 layers of glass on top of each other. So, if you follow the red line, the dot, that black line across the top is the top of a piece of glass, and then it goes down, and then it goes down here, right on top of the child's head, and then follows all the way up through there. Okay? So that's one piece of glass on the inside layer. And that layer of glass, I'm assuming, without taking the window apart, is the yellow color. Now, on the outside, there is another piece of glass of the same shape. But that piece of glass is a dark blue. So then you look and wonder, well, how could that be dark blue? Because where has the yellow come through? So you've got two pieces of glass, identical shapes. One is yellow, one is blue. In the brochure, Elizabeth Pfeiffer talks about some of the unique techniques that Tiffany used, which is nothing new. It's been old, and it's being used today also. The blue was laminated onto clear glass. So we have a sheet of glass that's clear, and in the process of making glass, blue is laminated on top of it. So when you look at the glass, it's blue. And that's the way it's made. It's like candied apple. You put the red around the apple, and when you chew into the apple, you see the apple. So the red is removed. Well, in this situation with glass, you use hydrochloric acid to remove the blue layer. So we coat the entire piece of glass with clear contact paper today. Years ago, they used wax. And you remove the contact paper that you want exposed to the hydrochloric acid. You apply the hydrochloric acid onto the blue, and it eats away the blue laminate. So the lower part of the mountain stays blue, and the upper part is clear, allowing the yellow to come through. Now, everybody understands that, because at the coffee hour, I'm going to ask the question again and ask people to tell me how that's done. You too. Just because you're behind me, you know, doesn't mean you're going to get away. So, the fabrication of a stained glass window is basically wrapping lead canes or lead strips around pieces of glass. Whether it is a window from the 13th century, a Tiffany window, or a window made today. That is the basic structure of a stained glass window. Lead, which is one of the softest materials known to man, is wrapped around glass, which is silica, one of the hardest materials known to man. And that allows the lead to wrap around all different, very obvious, intricate shapes. The glass is selected and cut to a pattern, like dressmaking. It's painted with metallic oxides, fired, and then assembled. The electric soldering iron is really the only advancement in 1,000 years in the development and the making of stained glass windows. You wrap the glass around the lead wherever the solder joints, the lead joints intersect with each other, they get soldered. And then the window is turned over and it's soldered on the other side. One should understand when looking at stained glass windows, whether it's these windows or it's in Chartres Cathedral or Canterbury Cathedral, huge windows are only small sections of stained glass. Let's take the two angel windows over there. You see this dividing line? I'll do it on the wall. That heavy line, from that point up, is one section of stained glass. From that point down to here is another section of stained glass. And then from that point down to here is the third section of stained glass. So if the window is 30, 40 feet high, it's all sections, maybe 3 foot, 4 feet the most. The largest section of stained glass that's usually made is 12 square feet. So 3 foot by 4 foot is about the largest. And the reason for that is you can't handle the stained glass window section because it's too flexible. And also you have to be able to lift it up off the bench and flip it over and solder the other side of the window. So windows are never as tall as they look as far as how many pieces there are. Remember that. You'll be asked that later. The major difference between the opalescent window and the Gothic painted window, besides the glass, is the opalescent window uses 2 to 4 layers of glass. And he does that. Not only Tiffany did it, Lamb did it, Lafarge did it. Many of the opalescent glassmakers at that time did the same
technique.
They use that for artistic effects. We already spoke about one idea. We can take them back to the Good Shepherd window. See, up here above Christ's head is foliage. It's all trees. Those trees are in the distance. This tree up here, the leaves on this tree, are in the foreground. They're over his head. But you'd think, well, they're on the same plane. But that's not true, because there's a piece of glass over his head there that's called a plating. It's on the inside layer, meaning that once you put a diffusing glass over that layer, it pushes that tree into the background. And it's not done on the upper area. So that's how the use of plating comes into effect. It also creates different color use. Up in the rose window, you see a transition from blue to green to almost bright yellow as you go to the inside. That's not necessarily done in one piece of glass. That could be done in several layers of glass, similar to the idea that I was speaking about with the hydrochloric acid in the mountains over the child's head. So Tiffany and these opalescent artists of that time developed these different ways of using layers of glass to create different movements within the design and actually different colors together. Special made drapery glass is used where the glass is folded or pushed together while hot to create actual folds in the glass. This can be seen up close in any one of these windows, especially in the room where we're going to copy the four lenses window. You can go up to that window and you can actually see the folds in the glass. And any of these windows, you get up real close, you can see the actual folding, three-dimensional glass. Today, the major amount of work that we do is restoring stained glass windows. Lead canes, the word cane is C-A-N-E-S, only last about 100 years, depending upon the gauge of the lead used and the construction of the window. Tiffany windows are probably the most difficult to restore because of the complex layers of glass. Restoring a window usually means the replacement of the lead cane. So we've got to remove this window section by section. That is the most difficult part in the restoration process. Because when a window is brand new, it is strong, it's stiff, and it's really able to be handled. But after 100 years, and the lead is not its structural maximum, then the window starts to collapse. And when we take the window out, it could collapse in our hands. So this is a very, very critical part of restoration. And what it means is replacing the lead canes that hold the glass pieces together. And when taking apart a Tiffany window, it's like a maze to go through. Because another problem with his windows are the sections are too large. Now the sections in the angel window that I pointed out to you is good. And I would say most of the sections in these windows in this church are good. But I have had to take out window sections that are maybe 3 feet wide by 6 feet, 7 feet high. And he didn't like to put the vision bars in his windows. And it becomes a major problem for removing the windows. And because of the weight of them is a problem. As the workmen attempt to remove them, they're sometimes like trying to hold a pizza pie. You ever try to hold a pizza pie vertically? Well, that's what it can happen. Feels like. You are fortunate that the windows in this church are in relatively good condition. This collection of windows is some of the finest group of windows under one roof that I have ever seen. And you can be proud of the members and donors from the past who have such a beautiful gift for you to enjoy, and I might say for you to care for. On a personal note, 9 years ago, I had the unique opportunity to install the first painted stained glass window in Marble Collegiate Church for Arthur Caliendo. And it was right next to a Tiffany window. And it was quite an opportunity to be in Marble and to meet Arthur Caliendo. And I remember saying to him what a wonderful church he had, what a wonderful congregation he had. I admire him for the work that he did, meeting the needs of others in his congregation. I met many of the members of the congregation going through the process of designing the stained glass window. And he made such a nice compliment to me. He said, "Well, you know, your work is like a ministry also. Ministering the needs of churches and bringing education and beauty to a building." And I think back of what Lewis Comfort Tiffany did and the Lamb Studio members did, I feel that, yes, I'm probably carrying on the same type of work that they did. And I'm quite proud of what I do. I enjoy my work. I love getting up every morning and what new minister am I going to meet? What new challenge am I going to meet? And working with artists from all over the world, creating stained glass windows. And now, restoring the beautiful artwork from 100 years ago. And it's quite an honor to restore Tiffany windows, and even more of an honor to have a Lamb Studio window come back into the studio, which we're doing right now in a church in Washington, D.C. In the social hall is a display of how a window is designed up to the point of just before cutting the glass. We talked about how windows are made, and you know, you see these beautiful windows. Well, how did they get to be the way they are? You know, what was the inspiration? Because every one of the windows you see in this church and every window you see in the world started with an idea, a concept. And a drawing had to be made. Well, you're going to see an example how that process goes through on the table in the other room. So, thank you very much for your kind attention, and I will be happy to answer any questions afterward at the coffee break. Thank you. Thank you.